Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you? I'm having
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
a really good week, actually. I've been solo this week, and it's given me the opportunity to really think about what I want to pursue in 2025. And we talked a little bit about this, but thought it might be helpful to share some of my thoughts, and you've got some thoughts that you want to share. And if nothing else, I think it'll help the two of us to talk through what we want to pursue in 2025. And if our listeners enjoy listening, then that's a bonus.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, that's kind of where we always go with this conversation. I mean, I'll just jump into it because I kind of made a list. And so I've got essentially three things that are just jumping out at me. And number one is definitely I have to figure out where I'm going to live after the end of July because my lease here in Maryland runs out and I've really enjoyed being here. It'll be 2 years, but I'm ready to figure out the next act in terms of geography for myself. So that's kind of in there. I don't have any clarity right now. I mean, I have kind of muddy clarity, but nothing that I can speak to. It's, just trying to figure out the things that I'm looking for and then prioritize them and then go accordingly. So that was one. Number two, and I know we've had brief conversations, both our own conversations and on the podcast, you've talked about your recent foray back into dating after your divorce. And I've been pretty, I think, transparent also that I really haven't dated for like well over 10 years. And it's interesting because I can't say that I'm overwhelmingly interested in even thinking about it. I'm kind of, I think you've used this term, like I'm thinking of considering putting my toe in the pool. But I don't know what that looks like because I know what online dating, and that's, a big way that people can go down that path. So when I say that, I don't know what it looks like. And then there are so many other things associated with if I decided I wanted to do that, that we can talk about. Number three is I love doing this podcast. I love writing the blogs. And we've talked about the fact that, we'd like to expand our own desires and thoughts. So this next year into maybe doing some stuff that is what speaks to us personally, which may mean branching out on our own a little, but exploring that. So those are my three things.
I love it. Well, I don't have my stuff written out in a format like that, but I love the three things that you laid out. And I think some of that ties into my thinking about myself. So let's just take one at a time and work through this. So for figuring out where you want to live, that is in some way similar to something that I need to figure out, which is I am trying to simplify my life. I'm spending time in too many places at this moment. So I'm feeling a desire to have more of a single home base. I'm just curious about your decision process. So you have to decide by July whether you're going to stay in the place that you're in.
Right.
And do you feel certain that you don't want to stay in the place that you're in?
Yeah. I mean, probably it's like 2 months before the end of my lease in July. So yeah. And it's not because I don't like this place. It's just where I'm located. You know, I originally moved here a couple of years ago. Both my sister and I had moved here. So it was having a family member, her specifically, the two of us being close to each other, we hadn't in decades. And she died this year. So the real impetus for me being in this location, because we kind of decided on it together because she wanted to move out of upstate New York to a little bit better climate. Can't say, you know, we still get snow here a little bit. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I know I probably wouldn't want to proceed to stay here into the future. Plus, even though as I looked at it, like I'm near three different airports where I am, I'm still like pretty close to an hour away from each one of them. And that's not that travel friendly for somebody who doesn't have a car. So if nothing else, it's not like number one on the priority list. I would like to probably be closer to at least one airport, because to address the point you just were saying, you want to kind of downsize and, you know, definitely have one hub. And I certainly would like to have an apartment that is my home, whatever. But given I have three children in very different locations all over the country, I want to feel like I can be more comfortable traveling to visit them. And the travel situation here, I have to say, I mean, you know, getting sick this summer and all the stuff with my sister kind of wasn't a situation to do a lot of traveling. But in the future, I feel like some of what I'm going to want to do is be able to access my family in different places in an easier way. And, you know, not buy places wherever they are, but, you know, not always feel, cause I don't need to, you know, be 12 months out of the year in one spot.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, there's a lot in there, and I'm happy to talk through the pros and cons of all that stuff as a friend, maybe offline, but there might be a couple themes in there that would be helpful for other people to hear about. So one thought is, we've both had conversations about decision anxiety. So are you feeling decision anxiety about it?
Not really. No, no. I'm just feeling like, you know, even though it's, you know, 6 or 7 months away, really, it's like everybody feels kind of at the end of the year and okay, now I need to kind of go in that direction. So there's not really anxiety. I almost feel the opposite. Like I do have choices, which is kind of nice to think about that. I mean, and I can, again, I'm a big list maker. You know, I think I've learned enough over the last few years. You know, the whole airport thing is really something that I don't think I was thinking about when I first moved here. And then, you know, I need to also probably move to a place that has pretty good health care, given my health issues, you know, my history of cancer and all that. So I don't want to move to some place and I do some research before I go and it's like, there's not that many doctors, you know, and it's really hard to get in. And so, and it's not close to where you're considering living. So, I mean, and I think the listeners who are my generation, they're probably nodding their heads going, yeah, those are things now that have risen to more of the top of the list, you know, finding a place that doesn't have stairs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even I moved to a place with virtually no healthcare when I was 42 years old and had always been healthy. And that turned out to be a train wreck because I had major unexpected health issues. So I think that that's something that everyone should think about. Well, I'm glad to hear that you don't have decision anxiety. I feel like this is a big shift for you, and that you're seeing your opportunities as a positive, and that you're seeing endless possibilities as a positive. I kind of feel like that might have felt paralyzing to you in the past. Do you agree?
To some extent, depending on the circumstances I was in, you know, the time in my life when I didn't feel like I had as many choices. And I have to say, financially, that's probably helped quite a bit. You know, in the past few years, it's not changed drastically, but enough that I'm not driven by the bottom line in every decision I make. So I'm going to switch it around and say to you, why do you feel like you want to hunker down more in one spot?
Well, I just feel like packing myself up and preparing to move to another place just causes complication in my life that I don't necessarily need. And I'm just enjoying in-person connections. I'm enjoying being part of a community. I like seeing people I know around town. And, you know, I do have that in four places now. Really?
That's what I mean when I didn't mean to interject or interrupt, but like, I wasn't thinking that you were going to find a fifth place now.
It was more like,
let me pick at least one or two of the opportunities I have and where they are. And again, not to put words in your mouth, but three of them are in Montana and you kind of have a fourth in Vail. I mean, you've been very transparent about the fact that, you know, you always feel like you have that opportunity because your parents have a space there that you could probably land in, even if just temporarily. So when you say the four places, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And just to, in case people are curious. So the three places in Montana is our Big Sky. And then I recently purchased a condo in Bozeman, which is about an hour from Big Sky. And then I'm in a relationship with a man who is working on a project in Paradise Valley, which is one valley over from Big Sky and 1 hour from Bozeman and 2 hours from Big Sky. So I'm proud of myself in that I've created a sense of community in all three of those places after spending relatively little amount of time in those places. And that has actually given me a lot of peace to know that I can do that in a relatively small amount of time. It just sort of feels like I can bloom wherever I'm planted. And I like having that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that an analogy I just heard?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh my God, I'm rubbing off on you.
Going back and forth is feeling cumbersome. Yeah. And I always feel like I'm torn because, and this is a good problem to have, but I enjoy being in all three places. And so I always feel like I'm torn between whether I should stay or go to spend time with people I want to spend time with and take advantage of, you know, where the snow is best and things like that. And I don't like feeling torn all the time. And I am in control of that. I could just stop having those feelings, but
easier said than done.
Right. But nonetheless, it feels like simplification would be in my favor. And I have some shame about the environmental footprint that I create by spending time in those three places too.
Right. Right. And I know that you've talked, like expressed that to me and everything. And I wish I could say stop, because I know you're not going to continue this for an extended period of time. Like, this has been a very transitional year for you. And I think I've encouraged you in all of the things that you've done, I think, I hope, in terms of your choices, because it's a way of figuring it out.
Yeah.
So that's like, it sounds like 2025. 2024 was kind of like, you know, throwing the spaghetti at the wall, and 2025 is seeing what sticks.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Okay.
And there's still going to be some throwing spaghetti at the wall too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For anybody that has never heard that, that's like, some people think that's the way of telling if it's done. Yeah. Okay. Some people are going to be listening going, what the hell? Why are they throwing spaghetti at the wall? It's like cook spaghetti when you're trying to figure out if it's done yet. All right. We can move on now.
Well, let's move on to your second point, which is dating. I think
You were waiting. Yeah. I kind of surprised me myself that it would be something that would even be on my radar screen, because after I got divorced in 1998, and I actually, at the time, I knew I was never going to want to remarry. And I remember expressing it to a therapist at the time, and her being very dismissive, because I was only in my early 40s. And she was just like, oh, you don't really know what you're thinking. And I'm like, I kind of do. It's not like I'm saying I'm never going to want to date or be in a relationship, but I don't want to take it to that level. Like, I'm certainly never changed my mind really about that. And I definitely, we had the podcast about living alone. I like living alone. I don't think I ever want to live with anybody, like even like a roommate situation. I like living alone. I would sacrifice like creature comforts. Like, I'd get a studio if I was forced into that position, which I happily don't think I would be. It's more, you know, just, you don't know. I hate to say it. Like, I miss flirting. And again, you know, I know I'm 68 years old. Some people might be listening going, oh, you don't flirt at 68. Well, you kind of do.
Hey.
My generation listening will be like, yeah, you kind of do.
My grandmother got remarried at 70. And mm-hmm. I just was talking to this woman who was 85. Mm-hmm. Or is 85, and she had never been married, and she got married for the first time at 81.
Wow. And how's she doing at 85?
Great. She's totally mm-hmm. in love. And it's actually a really cool story. She met this man online when she was in her late 70s. She had always wanted children, but she was unable to have them. And he has 5 children and a boatload of grandchildren. And so at 81 years old, she got an instant family.
I know. That is sweet. I mean, I'm saying that, of course, the realist in me is, you know, the adjustment for her whole life like that. But that's a very sweet story. It is.
I love that story.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. So definitely not what I'm looking for, but
right.
I got enough. I got enough of my own stuff. It's like,
but the lesson I took in that is that there are endless possibilities regardless of your age.
There are. Well, thank you for saying that. And just to, you know, one of the not hesitations is I think I keep using the term transparent, but you know, I've had breast cancer, and I actually had a double mastectomy, and I did not have reconstruction. So I'm being, because we're imperfectly honest, you know, I've never been in a position, because after my divorce, like I said, 1998, I had a pretty long-term relationship, and I also dated, and it's like, I've never been in the position where that is a thing. You know, I kind of maintained my appearance, I think, through the year. So it was never that was never an issue. Like, oh my God, like, what's he going to think of my physicality? And now it is. And, you know, I made the decision not to have reconstruction. And I am very happy I did. I have no regrets about that because I just didn't think it was important enough to put myself through all that kind of stuff. Then, not that I'm saying women shouldn't do it. If it's important to them, they should. It was not important to me. I had many conversations with my surgeon about it. But in terms of this foray, I mean, I don't know how far I'm looking to have a relationship. It could just be a flirtation and that's it. But, you know, you don't know. And so that's going to be in there in my head. But I'll figure it out. We've talked about quotes that we're interested in having as mantras. And the quote that I sent to you that I said I really like is feel the fear and do it anyway.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other quotes.
There was actually a book, and I will, in the notes, I will definitely give credit to the woman who came up with that and wrote the book years ago.
Well, when I was also searching for quotes that will be my mantra, and I'll talk about my quote later, but one of the quotes that I found in the process is that uncertainty is the essence of romance, or something similar to that. I'll give you the exact quote, but I loved that. I think it's really applicable for both of us because one of the things that I most valued about my 20-year relationship with my ex-husband is that I felt a high level of certainty in that relationship. And that was so valuable for me because I was so uncertain in my life and all of the other aspects, because I met him when I was 21 years old and had just, you know, started my life. And it's terrifying to go into the completely uncertain territory. And it's also, I'm finding, what brings excitement and opportunity as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, having not had a totally similar trajectory. But as we've talked about, you know, I got married in my mid-20s, had my kids right away, got divorced in my early mid-40s, and didn't date for like 3 years, like at all. I just did not want to. As similar to this, where it's like this was more of a 10-year break. But then I did, and there was a lot of uncertainty throughout most of it. But yeah, it was pretty exciting. You know, it was kind of like another analogy, but I'm stealing this from the movie Parenthood, the difference between the roller coaster and the merry-go-round. The ups and downs versus it goes around and it goes around and it goes, you know, where you're going to start, where you're going to end. And it's going to feel the same the whole way. Yeah.
Is there one particular fear that you want to let go of is a start for your journey in 2025?
About the things I'm talking about specifically,
for embarking on some sort of a romance or flirtation, is there a specific fear that you have that's preventing you from doing that you want to release?
I guess maybe the concept that there would actually be somebody I could be interested in, and then there's too many other things that I wouldn't like, so I really wouldn't want to do it. Does that make sense? It's like the excitement of it, but then knowing, but I don't know if this is really going to be the best thing for you.
Meaning you get excited, you're attracted, and then you figure out that there's too many things that just won't work.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The letdown. You're afraid of the letdown.
Well, it's not the letdown. It's that, again, this is, you know, being 68 years old, like there could be baggage in that person's life that would be just too difficult to deal with. So it's not a letdown. It's an acknowledgement that, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore, where we don't really have that baggage. I mean, the baggage we have in our 20s is probably just from our childhoods. And your age too. I mean, you're in your 40s, but more so in your 60s. Like there's steamer trunks. Like, you know, you got kids, you got grandkids, you got set in stone things, you got health issues. So when you first meet somebody and you have that, ooh, this is really exciting, this is fun. And then it's like when you get past the honeymoon period, because there's always a honeymoon period. And then it's like you start to really discover things that are just like a bridge too far or a mountain too high. Oh, I just cannot get rid of this analogy. Can I? And if you don't do it, if I don't date, then that's a challenge I won't have to face, you know, with all the other challenges I have to face anyway. So I guess that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, another wrinkle.
Okay, but I'm still unclear whether you're afraid of being rejected or going to have to reject the person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I talked a little while ago about the physicality and that being a part of, but I'm going to be blunt. Like if somebody rejects me because I don't have breasts, like, I don't think I want to be with that person.
Yeah.
So it's just the tentativeness of not having been in that position before, where I'm nervous about having to reveal that. But no, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm narcissistic or anything, but no, it's not them rejecting me. It's kind of a mutual acknowledgement, even though we really like each other, it's probably not going to work.
Mm.
And that would be disappointing, because then it would be a loss. And you suffer so many losses as you age. It's like, do I want to go out there and open myself up to the possibility of another loss?
Mm.
I think, yeah, that's kind of, I think I just nailed it in terms of what's in my head. Yeah.
Huh.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're ready to just move past that fear and do it anyway? Per your quote?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, I think probably I'd have to have a situation where I feel like I'm attracted to somebody before then it will come, you know, then it's like the rubber meets the road kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, sitting in my apartment, just having this conversation with you, I have no idea.
Hmm. Is there anything that I can do as a friend to help you?
No, it just has to happen. It just has to happen. I mean, I know when I get there, I'll probably, given all the thoughts I'm having and the work I'm doing, I'll figure it out. Yeah. But thank you for the offer.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. What about you? What about you romantically? I bared myself a lot, like literally.
Yeah. I think the biggest fear that I need to move past is my fear of giving away too much of myself in the name of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of at this in between in which I feel equally afraid of being too wrapped up in a relationship and not being wrapped up enough. Because, and it's in line with my fear that I have more generally beyond relationships, which is that I have this ability to be so inspired about things that I forget to eat and sleep. And that's what makes me a really good entrepreneur. It's what makes me attractive to other people and effective in the work that I do.
Okay, and... I really honestly need to stop you just for a minute.
Okay.
It is never good to not eat or sleep, no matter what occupation you're in. So, like,
yeah,
when you
totally
say stuff
true.
Like that, I say, and I'm attractive to people, like,
that's
health.
Okay, that's totally fair, but I guess what makes me good is that I get so inspired that I can do things beyond normal limitations, even when I can do that healthily by eating and sleeping. It's just that I can push through walls, that I can come up with really creative solutions. I can do seemingly impossible things because I get so inspired to do so. And
but you can do that eating and sleeping, or you can't?
I cannot. Eating, yes. Mm-hmm. I can be more, for me, I can, you know, it's easier for me to take time to eat and things like that. But I can't always sleep. I get so inspired that I can't shut my brain off. And I'm not in control of that.
Right.
Like I would like to be. And so I have fear of getting to that point of inspiration. And last year, my goal was to achieve an average of an 8 out of 10, with 10 being the most inspired that I can feel about my work and about my life in general, to achieve an average of 8 of inspiration within my quote unquote healthy parameters. And I did a pretty good job with that, with the exception of a stint this summer, which I don't need to go into the details of that, but basically I had an issue with medication that medication combined with a high level of inspiration, which caused insomnia for almost 6 weeks.
Right.
And I have some PTSD from that experience. That was really trying.
Okay.
So,
all right. So I didn't mean to minimize, oh, just sleep. So I apologize if that came off like that, because I know that history of yours. So
It didn't. I think your comment came from a good place, and I'm not upset about it or anything.
Okay.
But I have some PTSD about from that experience this summer, and also just from a lifetime of knowing what it feels like to get so inspired about your work that you just sort of can't maintain a healthy status quo. So I have fear about that. But then I also have fear that when I focus too much about staying within my healthy parameters, that I just almost become numb, because it's like I shut off that part of me. And that's detrimental to my health too. So I think I want to continue in this year trying to achieve more of that balance, and also being willing to fail on that. Because this year I learned that in some of the times that I pushed myself past what I thought were my healthy parameters, I learned a lot about myself, and I also had a lot of fun, and I had experiences that I was grateful that I had. And with the exception of the 6 weeks of insomnia, the consequences were actually relatively minor. So I think, you know, last year I was really kind of focused on staying within my healthy parameters because I was still recovering from some significant health issues. This year, I think I want to push it a little bit further, but still try to strike that balance.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Balance is always a good thing, you know?
Yeah. And the last thing I'll share on this topic is, as it relates to a relationship, I have a history of being a people pleaser. And when I'm in a relationship, I can sometimes forget about my own needs because I'm trying to meet the needs of my partner. And I can also get so wrapped up in the relationship that I lose my sense of inspiration in other aspects of my life. And so I just kind of want to, again, find that balance this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, you know, having seen your trajectory and everything, I think you have the ability to figure that out, because it's kind of like you have to test your boundaries before you can find where they work best.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I know we've been talking a while, and I just actually, my third thing, I thought, since I mentioned it at the beginning, so the podcast, is it okay if I expand a little bit on that briefly?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So our conversations I really enjoy. And I think, again, our small but enthusiastic supporters enjoy them. One of the things that I'd love to do, even though we have very similar mindsets in some things, we have divergent interests. And so one of the things that I've been thinking about is just having my own space to maybe talk to. I hate to be too limiting and not and inclusive, but I really feel like there's a lot of women my age that might enjoy having some conversations about things that I think and they think are interesting and could be engaging for people listening too. So that's, I haven't carved it out completely in my head, but that's kind of one of the directions that I'm thinking I want to explore a little bit, you know. And short, I mean, ours are usually between 45 minutes and an hour, just like short little snippets, you know, like just a life experience of somebody and kind of parsing it out a little. I don't know. TBD.
I love that for many reasons. First, I feel like that's also a shift in you, because I sometimes feel like it's more natural for you to work in a partnership in which you're given specific direction to
right. I'm in the passenger seat versus the driver's seat. Yeah,
right.
Well, I get it.
And I feel like this is you moving more to the driver's seat. I think the passenger and the driver can be equally valuable in a partnership.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see you exploring the other side.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I think you articulated it well. It just kind of took me a while to get to this place where I like being a helper. I like being the wingman. But every once in a while, I think I would like to just, yeah.
And it's fun for me selfishly, because I am much more comfortable in the driver's seat typically. But I've been having this experience both with our partnership and also in my romantic relationship, in which I'm learning that being in the passenger seat from time to time can actually offer a lot of freedom for me. And I also had a little bit of shame, I guess, because I started to feel a little less enthusiasm for our podcast, although I've felt a renewed enthusiasm over the last couple of weeks. But I went through a stint where I was feeling less enthusiasm for it. I think mostly because I went through a pretty lonely couple of years with the pandemic and with my health issues and with moving to a place where I didn't know many people. And now that I am part of feeling like I'm actually part of a community and have more in-person opportunities, I was just feeling less energy about remote relationships, which this podcast is one of them. So I feel the timing just synced nicely with that, in which my energy was waning slowly. But my energy will ebb and flow. Like, I've been feeling a lot of energy around it recently. And so it's great to know that we can both ebb and flow, and that one of us will sort of fill the gap when the other is in an ebb. That feels really supportive and accretive.
Yeah, good. And, you know, I mean, I have to admit, I wasn't sure where we were going to take this in the future because I felt like that maybe, for both of us, was it really going to be something that we could just maintain what we're doing? And so that was part of my thought process too, that I wanted to also create a little more excitement in the whole format, but for myself too. So yeah. So we both might have been in a little bit of an ebb. And it's okay if we didn't like say I'm in an ebb. Do something, We kind of got out of the ebbs, right?
Yeah,
I
well,
don't
my
know that
best
that's ever used
partnerships.
as like a noun, ebbs. We got out of the ebbs.
Well, my best partnerships have been those in which, when one person was in the ebb, the other person was in the flow, and neither person was resentful when the other person stepped in. Or when both of us would sometimes be in the flow together, and sometimes we'd both be in the ebb, and we'd be willing to just decide that it didn't make sense to continue whatever we were doing. So I don't know. This is a long-winded way of saying
No,
it
I think
feels like we're in
my
sync.
brain is starting to hurt, I have to say. Too many ebbs, too many flows, but I think we're kind of we're in a flow right now, I think.
Great. I love
Yeah,
it.
or we're leading to a flow. We're leading to a
Yes.
flow. Which is very appropriate for this podcast. Goals for the 2025. So yeah, I'm excited. I am. Anything else? I think I bared my soul there more than I probably usually do, but I'm okay with it.
Well, I think I just want to share that for me in 2025, I most want to just become more comfortable being my true self. I have noticed, especially over the past few years, I have felt a desire to change myself because I felt that I was being judged by others. I'm to the point that I really like myself. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I want to stay curious and open to the fact that I may not be right, or that I might need to make some compromises to really allow the relationships that are important to me to flourish. But at the same time, I want to just be myself and give people the courage to do the same.
Well, I can hearken to no greater than William Shakespeare. I hope I'm getting this right. To thine own self be true.
Well, and I guess I'll close by just sharing the quote that I want to be my mantra for the year, which is, "You will always be too much of something for someone, too big, too loud, too soft, too edgy. If you round out your edges, you lose your edge. Apologize for mistakes, apologize for unintentionally hurting someone profusely, but don't apologize for being who you are."
I like that.
Danielle Laporte, who I had never heard of, but she's a thought
Yeah.
leader and an author and a podcaster.
Yeah. Well, we will make efforts to give credit to all these people in the notes, and hopefully I attributed that quote was correctly attributed to Shakespeare. I have no idea what play or whatever. But I'm gonna Google it the minute we get off of this.
The quote that I mentioned earlier is, "The very essence of romance is uncertainty," by Oscar Wilde.
Oh, well, great source. Yeah.
Great source, yes.
Yeah. So this has been fun. Yeah. Great way to end the
Well,
year. Go into the new year. We didn't want to be too dated, but yes, we are recording this during the holiday season. So very retrospective, introspective time. So yeah, that's kind of why we're doing it.
Sheila, I'm honored to be starting a new year with you.
Me too. Me too. God, 2020. I seriously, when you said like recounting 2024, I'm like, no, I think she meant 2020. It's like these years are just like boom, 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 boom.
Oh my gosh, this kid was on the chairlift with me yesterday. He was maybe 15 or so. And he was talking about watching The Grinch. And his sister says, "Which Grinch are we watching? Are we watching the new one or the OG one?" And it ca came out that she was referring to the OG one as the one that was that Jim Carrey was in. That
Oh, I knew you were gonna say that, and it wasn't the one that I grew up with. Oh my God. So that's not even around anymore, is it? Ugh.
So then the 15-year-old says, "That's not the first Grinch. The first Grinch was that cartoon, and that was from the middle 1900s." And I
It
thought,
was
what
like
is
this
the middle?
1960,
But
1960.
Sheila, so then I asked him and I said, "So what year would you consider to be the middle 1900s?" And he said, "Well, I think it was somewhere in the 50s or 60s," which is correct. But I just had never heard anyone talk about it as the middle
The middle
1900s.
1900s, I know. Oh my God, I have to
But
go get my apron right now. And oh
he was
God.
born in 2010. So I guess I would say the mid 1800s to refer to 1855. I guess that's a fair statement by a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God. Okay. You just, yeah. You made me laugh, but you made me feel really old. So on that
Well,
note, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just joking. Yeah.
oh my
Yeah.
gosh, it made me feel old too. And
Yeah.
as we said earlier, there are endless possibilities regardless of age. So with
Right. There
that,
are.
we'll
There
close it
are.
out.
Yeah. This was fun. This was a lot of fun. More fun than we've had in a while, I have to say. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
All
Okay.
right, until
Bye,
next
Elizabeth.
time.
All right.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical-related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.